this weekend that won't cost you anything. In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all?
Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9.
We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen.
Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9.
My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating.
Talk the walk with John the cabbie, BBC 94.9.
And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell.
Oi! Oi, how you doing, John?
Fine, fine.
Right, now then, where we're going today is one of the...
It's a beauty, isn't it?
It's another one of our rare hidden treasures here in London.
Yeah, and there's plenty of them. I mean, because next week where we're going as well, we'll link to this.
Oh, let's not peak too early, John.
No, that's right. No, but I mean, no, but it's a... This was a decision only made.
We're putting you in stereo, John. Don't worry, we're putting you in stereo.
This was a decision only made after what I found in the square tonight, you see. No, honestly, found something that... leads you somewhere else, and I do like that when there's a bit of linkage between two different postcodes.
Yeah.
You know, not like just up the road, but literally between two different postcodes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Manchester Square, stunning.
So, we're going to Manchester Square then?
Yeah, we're
going
to start off, I'll tell you where we are, north side of Manchester Square,
mm-hmm.
staring at a building called Hertford House. Now, if anyone knowledge, that is known as the Wallace Collection.
Right.
It does come, it's a point on the knowledge. They need to know Manchester Square, they need to know this property. They need to.
One of my favourite spots, that is.
Yeah, and it's
do you know how much it costs to get in there?
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly.
Absolutely nothing. Open Sunday to Thursday, 10 till 5, mm-hmm. then Friday to Saturday, 10 till 11 p.m. at night.
Yep.
At the moment, they've got an exhibition on called Treasure of the Black Death. That's until the 19th of May, so that's about some, treasures back in those dark, eerie, dreary, awful days. We're talking Gothic times, aren't we?
Yep.
You know, and there
those lazy, crazy, hazy days of summer.
But this, it amazed me. I was there this evening in this square. I went there last week, and then again this week, just standing in front of it. And what was beautiful today was very, very little traffic. And that was really pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
So you're able just to stare and admire the building. And one of the first things you'll notice is the vastness, the size of it, actually. Because driving a taxi cab around the square, you tend to be heading up Manchester Street to get across Blandford, to get to somewhere else. So you're not actually... enjoying the view.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you know, the other thing as well, you forget then what's in the centre of the square as well. You forget there is a beautiful garden as well at the same time. Not open to the public, may I add. This is a private garden. It's run by a trust, and if you're a trustee or you happen to be one of the chosen few, you get a key, you get the option to go in there.
Yep.
No smoking, no drinking.
Nope.
No eating of food, unless you hire it out. They do hire it out, put marquees up in the centre here.
And they do, and also they, in the middle there, they often have... they often have big dues. I mean, yeah, David Frost has had a few in there. I've seen the American Embassy have a few in there.
Yeah.
But what I love about the Wallace Collection is that it's got some of the great paints. It's got a beautiful one of Madame Pompadour, Jeanette Antoine.
Well, what we've got there, three things, isn't it, inside the building. We've got paintings, furniture, and porcelain.
That's right.
And so we're talking about an era we are. Of these are lovely words, a dandy exuberance.
Ah, and
yes,
you walk in there and it is dandy, isn't it?
Yes, no, this is it.
And it's got the picture of the greatest dandy of all, which is,
go for it,
the Laughing Cavalier.
Yes, correct. And he's on the side wall.
Yeah.
Do you know the best bit about this?
What?
He isn't a cavalier, and he isn't laughing.
Where is he then?
No, that's the thing. He's just an individual.
All right.
But that's
and he ain't like he's smirking, though.
No, but this is a Dutch painter. The Laughing Cavalier, Frans Hals, he was born 1582, died 1666. It's an oil on canvas. The name, they reckon, was thought up around 1875, around 1888.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a cavalier, and he's not laughing. However, I have to say, I think he's got a bit of a smirk on his face.
He does. He looks like a smirking cavalier. And the other one is the swing. I love that one. I can look at that I can look at that for hours. It's a young woman on a swing, and she's being pushed. But she's being pushed by one bloke, But there's another crafty bloke just round the corner who's looking up her skirt. So there's one bloke who's giving all the pushing and doing all that, and he's seeing the back of her head, and there's another dandy lying on the floor copping a look. I can't believe
it. Up to no good.
Yeah, and it's one of those pictures that it's the colours are the most delicious colours. John.
Yeah, you cannot beat.
Mary, here's our show. Yeah. I've got it up there.
All right, well, there you go. It's just beautiful, isn't it?
It's the most beautiful picture of the swing. And as you see, there's that dirty dog, look, in the corner there, looking up her dress.
Yes.
That shouldn't be allowed.
No, but what is amazing about oil paintings, though, is exactly that, how real to life they come.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like a... You know, this is still life at its best, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when someone's just sitting there posing, what, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours? I mean, The Laughing Cavalier, you actually can see it on the side wall. There is a picture of him, an advert on the wall.
Yeah.
On the corner of Manchester Square, Manchester Street.
That's right.
Now, look at the urns on the corners here. There's a number of urns there are, but look at the ones on the actual corners of this wall. What you'll notice is the ram's head either side, and then the lutes on the actual urns. Then you will notice that the gates are, and I like the way they have the in and the out, and the curve on the front drive, the lawn, look, that would do me. You know, a little tent there, that is, what a place to live, wouldn't it? You know, because people forget, this was... In its day.
And a nice cafe in there as well.
Oh, fantastic restaurant, actually, in Harden's Guide. Yeah. It is, very good restaurant. But we're talking about, this was, how can I put it? In its day, a London townhouse.
Now, as you look at that building, if you stand out the front and look at it, to your left is an iconic building, isn't there?
Yeah.
Which is the old EMI building, which I'm sure you'll talk about.
Modern, isn't it?
Which we'll talk about in a second. But on the right, what you may not know, is where my chiropractist is.
Well, because what you've got on Spanish Place, the corner of Manchester Square, you've got a Victorian house in the corner, and then it merges. It's actually a really nice corner, because you see a Victorian house, then you see a Georgian house, you do. And you see that pale white, what you would tend to find on Victorian art, you know, all that magnolia, that colour. And then you just see the brickwork of the Georgian properties. And what's wonderful about this square is exactly that. The corners are just beautiful. I mean, I took some fantastic shots there tonight. You know, of just the corners, the way the buildings merge. It's about symmetry, it's about lines, it's about brickwork merging, it's about seeing drain pipes vertical, about perfection. You know, it's not just about minimalism, it's about perfection, it's about the craft of building you're going to see here. You know, when you think about it, the work that went into a box sash window, still can't beat it today. You know, we've got this double glazing lot, but sorry, box sash window, open the bottom, open the top, decent air circulation, and you know, it's still a fantastic thing. It needs maintenance, though, unlike your double glazed whatever unit.
Yeah. Right, okay, let's leave the Wallace Collection, because I think that if anybody does make it there, we're talking about just off of Oxford Street, aren't we?
Yeah, we're talking just
less than 200 yards away from Oxford Street, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and the reason why it's part of the Portman Estate, this is what is important to note now, how it come about, the Wallace Collection. Well, it's art collected by the first to the fourth Marquess of Hertford and Sir Richard Wallace, who was the son of the fourth Marquess, it was. The collection was bequeathed to the nation by his widow, Lady Wallace, in 1897. So that's given to us. The area, the Portman Estate, is owned by that family. It still exists today, it does, like. And Portman Square was one of the original developments that happened many, many, many years ago. And what we have to talk about that is... that it was like a building boom happened. They started to build Portman Square, and then a building boom happened in the actual area, and then, you know, and how things changed. Walk around the building. You do need to look around the building, just at the architecture, the beautiful red brick on Manchester Street. Have a look. And when you're halfway down Manchester Street, what you'll notice is there's a really long door. Very, very long, thin door. Well, it's obvious what it's for, isn't it? It's for getting the paintings out. You know, I mean... You look at it and you think, that's a bit odd. Well, actually, no, it's not. It's about opening up and it's a way of...
Because some of those paintings are bigger than a billiard table, aren't they?
Yeah, and so they're very long. And that's, you know, it's quite practical, really, isn't it, to put in a gallery, like just some real tall, long...
And they're actually, some of them are the size of a small swimming pool. The ones that are right up in... Because I must have gone into the Wallace Collection 20 times.
But the thing is, this is free.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not being... How can I put this? There aren't queues forming.
No.
I mean, in a weird way, that's nice, because you can enjoy it.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of glass cabinets that you lift up. These that are covered in leather, you know, like fascias, and you lift them up, And you can look at the miniatures, and you have to put them down because the sunlight might deteriorate them.
Yes, you're right, the paint it does, yeah.
I think it's beautiful. Right, anyway, let's move away from that, John. Where else have we got him?
Well, no, we're just looking, we are just literally walking around the building.
Right,
So, we've gone up Manchester Street, we're going to take a right then at Blandford. But notice the drain pipes as you walk past it as well. You'll so notice they're partly inlaid back into the building.
Mm-hmm.
We take a straight right then, back into Spanish Place with you, and then we come back to that square where you're saying your shop this is. Notice the beautiful square, because we are just staying in this square today.
Right.
And then going into, there is a crocodile, we found the crocodile, George. It's,
you found it, did you?
Oh, yeah. It's classic, isn't it?
Did you not know that was there?
No, I did. I remember walking down the street one evening with you. You know, it's there.
There's a full-size crocodile just off of Manchester Square.
And there's a little warning sign as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go in there, that croc will have your arm off, I'm sure.
Definitely.
So, should we tell people where it is or not?
We will. We're going to come to
all
it.
Right.
So do not worry. So we're in Spanish Place. What you will notice is actually the size, anyway, of Hertford House. It's very, very big. And the back end there, it's lit from the roof. It's got a skylight, mm-hmm. isn't it, inside? So it's lit from above. And again, sometimes natural light is the best form of light. Any bit of artwork. Notice the gates as well. When we get back to the front, like I said about the in and out, notice the small crown, again, VR, Victoria Reigns, upon the gate, so it's got its links there, isn't it, like to royalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then now look at the centre square, beautiful mature trees, wonderful garden, actually, you know, it really is. I mean, it's pristine, it is. There's nothing wrong with this garden, and is that because then we deny access to all and sundry? I wonder. I mean, because if that is the case, that's, you know, it's sad, isn't it? You know, but. Again, you know, the few people that live here are, well, we're very, very lucky, that's all I will say. Hind Street we're going to come to now. You've got the corner of...
Hind Street.
And just, again, look at the perspective here. You're going to cross over, but look to your left and look at the symmetry, the lines of the buildings, leading all the way down, dead straight.
Okay, I've got a competition for you.
Yeah.
Why is Hind Street in the news today?
Oh, God.
It's been in the, it's streets like Hind Street have been in the news today.
Go on, tell me.
It's a juice point for the electric cars.
Yes, it is.
If you go down there.
And they glow at night, don't they?
Yeah, they glow at night. And you walk past, the first time you see it, you go, whoa, what's that?
What is that?
You know, and it's like all these, you think that they're parking meters and they're not, they're juice points.
No, that's right. Yeah, they've got one in Berkeley Square as well.
Yeah.
But there's a few in London. Yeah. I mean, but not enough for the amount of people they want.
And that's a different issue. But I just thought that does tie in with, you know, the news today.
No, it is. Yeah, no, it does. I mean, but, and what's, like I said, we come into the next corner.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about his next corner is, like I said, one, it's a beautiful corner, just the look of it, the symmetry, but there is a couple of blue plaques.
All
one's
right.
Sir Julius Benedict.
Heard of him.
A composer, actually.
All right.
1804, 1885, born in Stuttgart in Germany, seemed to spend a lot of time here, son of a Jewish banker, conducted, this is really odd, isn't it, the Norwich Festival from 1845 to 1878. This is the man. He really loved his music. And then also the Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra between 1876 and 1880. And then next to him, now this chap is an English chap. Really interesting, because the blue plaques are there because these people lived at this, you know, at these actual sites. So they lived in these houses. A chap called John Hewlings, it is Jackson. Ever heard of him?
Nope.
A physician, 1835 to 1911. This guy developed and pioneered neurology. This is quite amazing.
Yeah.
This guy also, they used to call...
So he was the first person to start poking around people's brains, Jane?
Well, to do seizures,
oh.
Epilepsy, Jacksonian seizures, and he believed there were electrical storms within the brain.
Right.
And then this man now, I'll tell you, leads us to next week's walk, because... Neurology is down near Great Ormond Street in Queen Square.
Okay.
And that's where he did a hell of a lot of his work. So we'll be talking in more detail, certainly about this chap, we will, you know, next week. Now, we're a short walk to this corner, and you come to this wonderful little street that leads you to Wigmore Street.
Yeah.
Called Duke Street. Worth a look, because there's a bit of building actually going on at the moment, isn't there? It's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, and do you know what that building is? Because that's the Duchess of Duke Street down. That was where she was. I think it's the other side of Oxford Street. The building that... it's being taken down there. Mm. I've been watching that for the last couple of years. It's been falling apart. It's actually going down. And it's been a danger for a little while, and they're just taking it down.
It's
so they've closed Duke Street off. That must be a nightmare for cabbies, mustn't it?
Yeah. I mean, half of London at the moment is...
Right.
he's falling. Well, he's not falling to pieces. He's full of potholes and everywhere. I mean, well, Thames Water is the not the biggest culprit, but I mean, you know, we're renewing the Victorian main. So, but coming to our new mayor, it's gonna be metal plates bolted over holes that are not worked on. That's the solution. Good idea, actually. Just bolt a metal plate down, let the traffic go above.
Yep.
And
so they do in New York.
Maybe we should just make roads out of metal.
Yes, well, no, but in New York, you know, like sometimes if they've got a really big problem, they do. They put the, you know, they work on it during the night time, and everybody, you know, if you're living in that area, it's like there's a big problem in the road. We're working it at night. Put up with it. You know, it's like there we go. We're working really hard. We're going to do this as fast as we can. Put up with it, and then during the day when there's rush hour, they'll put a big metal sheet down. Tarmac it in.
Yep.
So you bump over it a little bit. It's not like a speed bump, you know.
That's right.
And then they open it. I can't see what the problem is. It works. And if that's a real big problem, people say that metal sheet's been there for weeks. Yeah, I'd rather the metal sheet was there for weeks than that road being closed for weeks.
Yeah, with a fence around it.
Yeah.
You know, that someone's got a thin mind because they're worried about someone pushing the fence over.
Yeah,
you know,
which happens all the time.
Plastic cones.
Yeah, you see put the big metal sheet down and then tarmac it in. No one's going to be able to pick that up.
Yeah, you just bolt them down, the new ones, anyway. They got the lip built in.
Yeah.
The new ones, I'll just screw in.
Oh, no, there we go. Anyway, so Duke Street's closed, but tell me about Duke Street.
But what we got? We got a beautiful little pub on the left, haven't we?
Right, yeah.
That's good. One of those little...
It's a Devonshire, isn't it?
Yeah, one of those little drinking holes that, you know, you don't really know about. Still looks good, though, you know.
Yeah, old-fashioned pub.
Yeah, but then on our right, we have a shop, which many people know about the label of.
Yeah. Is it Lacoste?
Yeah. Lacoste a lot.
Yeah.
It's a good cheap, good clubber.
Yeah.
But when you get near it, you start hearing water running. Yeah. There's like a water feature. You look down and it tells you, you know, beware, don't knock the part, or it tells you beware the crocodile, this little sign. And there actually is a, you know,
full-size crocodile.
Yeah, they're in West One. Not in the zoo.
Yeah.
You know, not up in Regent's
Park. That crocodile's loaded. If you look closely, see how much money's in the bottom of that tank. Well, I ain't going anywhere near it, man, because he'd have your arm off.
But it is an odd. It is an odd water.
It is an oddity, yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's lit up late at night.
Yep.
To see it. And when you see it for the first time, I mean, this is an odd one. I mean, it doesn't add up, but haven't seen that on their store in Knightsbridge.
No, nor have I. But it's a real curiosity. Mm. There's one other thing I wouldn't mind just talking to you about, John. Just at the top of Manchester Street, you know where we were at the side of the Wallace Collection. As you go over, there's a zebra crossing there.
Yeah.
And if you go from the opposite corner of the Wallace Collection, there's a little restaurant there, a Japanese restaurant.
Yes.
Which has got two of these Japanese chefs in the middle. So you sit round these chefs. Now then, I haven't been in there because it's one of those things, one of those places that hasn't got prices on their food. So, and the people in there look very well dressed. But if you stand outside for a little bit and just cop a look, they're cutting the head off of bloater fish and stuff, you know, and it's like an artwork to see them doing their thing.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you mean.
I'm concerned that if they run out of bloater fish, they're going to go and get that crocodile, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right, anyway,
we'll
Duke
get some
Street.
Shoes out of it, anyway.
Right, but Duke Street.
Yeah, you're Duke Street. So Duke Street, anyway, is a junction with Wigmore Street. So anyway, you've got the pub on the left, and in fact, if you've got the cost a bit further back nearer Manchester Square on your right, spin yourself back round again, get a left back into Manchester Square, yeah, and again, that another beautiful corner, the way the pavements curve. Notice the lamps on these houses. We do have to. And then we come to another house we do with a blue plaque on. I mean, it's actually quite amazing how many, well, you know, wonderful people actually lived here. And what we come to is a guy called Lord Alfred Milner. Oddly enough, a statesman, a British statesman, but born in Germany, 1854 to 1925, a colonial administrator, was in David Lloyd George government. This bloke was an imperialist, I mean, through and through, although he was a Liberal MP. This is what's odd about him. He was the Minister of War for the first 7 months. He was the First World War. Served in Egypt, he did, though, previous to that, as a basic part of governance out there, government, and when it was under British mandate. And then he was also chair of the Inland Revenue. And then he became, oddly enough, High Commissioner in South Africa. And then he became governor of the Cape Colony in South Africa in 1897. Big blue plaque on the house he lived in. Beautiful house, stunning house, you know. This square, you know, when you think of it, Hertford House and these three people, a composer, someone from government, or governance, involving government, a statesman, and then we have someone then, a physician. There is something magical and special about this. I actually think it's quite a lot for the size of it. it's certainly got a lot to offer. Now, this next corner we come to is Fitzhardine Street. Now, what is interesting here, when you go across that road, because you said you got that building on the corner then, is just look, the road is dead straight. You seems like you look for about a mile before you can't see the end of the road because you're looking at the north side of Portman Square and beyond.
Yeah.
So we're talking Upper Barclay, aren't we, Street?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You think about Upper Barclay and where that leads. And it doesn't seem to end, it doesn't. You just, in the end, it's the building lines just drop to a point in the perspective. It's just very straight, the road, the pavement side is curved on the axis. It's just beautiful.
This is one of, because it goes all the way down, doesn't it? It goes right the way. I mean, if you think about it, it probably goes to Hyde Park Square, doesn't it?
Well, it does, yeah, exactly.
Right down past Tony Blair's place.
And it's a dead, well, yeah, that's right. It's a dead straight road, it mm-hmm. is, effectively. And you think yourself, like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't see the end.
I'm going to walk that tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's not a bad walk. I mean, busy with traffic. I mean, not so much at the moment. I mean, Portman Square, obviously, something we'll look at another time, another place.
Mm-hmm.
But this square itself, I do like. If you want a bit of peace and quiet, in London, the problem is because you can't have access to the square in the centre, there's nowhere to sit. The benches are inside.
Yeah.
Not on the outside.
But it's lovely to walk around.
But if you just walk around at the railings.
And during Christmas time, they decorate that by putting lights all around the trees. Mm. I think they should leave them all year round. Come on, John, I want to get to the most important part of Manchester Square here.
Your next bit now.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, well, you're talking about EMI.
Yeah,
the former head office.
Which is, I mean, those iconic pictures of the Beatles looking over the, over the balcony. I mean, this was the hub of the successful British music industry of the 1960s.
And now it's not.
Yeah, now. I don't even know what it is now.
Well, no, do I. I mean, there's a bit of modern artwork outside the building. I mean, it's the building is completely and utterly out of place.
Mm.
It doesn't look right, I mean, compared to the setting of the square. And for me, you know, when you walk around there, you're like, you know, what's this about? It just doesn't look right. It's not in tune with the rest of the
and story. Not being in tune for a record company doesn't really work, does it?
No, it don't, because I mean, you know, EMI then were down at, where was it, Brook Green then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Afterwards, isn't it? That's where they went, isn't it? I don't know if they're still there now, are they?
Well, EMI had a number of different places. I mean, they had Abbey Road Studios, they had this place, and then they had the pressing plant in Hayes.
Yeah.
And they were their three major centres. But they had, and they also had their place in Charing Cross Road. See, I used to work for EMI. Well, that'd been 22 years ago. And probably a bit more than that.
But a lovely setting, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, these are prestigious addresses.
I mean, I used to go into there. There was one of the heads of department, Vic Lanza. He was such a fantastic guy. Come in and have a cup of tea. Let's have a chat about a cup of tea. You know, I was supposed to be writing songs and arranging other songs. Now, let's have a cup of tea. All right, let's have a cup. I'll tell you about the old days. It's like, okay, but I've got a load of... Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me tell you about the old days. You ever heard of, Joyce Carol? No. Oh, she was wonderful, Joyce. Yeah, she never really made it in the record business, but she was good on stage. Now, you tell me all about Joyce Carol. It's like, who the hell is she? I don't know. And I'm supposed to be rearranging some dodgy old pop record upstairs in this little room with a piano and a little cassette player.
Yeah.
I loved it there, man. And it always, when I walked in there, I always kept feeling the Beatles worked there. You know, the Beach Boys, that is where they came. I was really privileged to work in there.
Amazing history, isn't it?
Yeah.
In an area. You know what I mean? When you think about it. I mean, an area that, let's be honest, a lot of cab drivers, you use this all the time. Mm-hmm. You're in and out of this. It's like a little hub for cab drivers, to be honest with you. The fact you're up and down Manchester Street, you're up Manchester Street, you'll be down Spanish Place, Hind Street, at least the Bentinck Street. It's just one of those, it's an escape route it can be for you sometimes.
An escape route?
Yeah, the fact that you can, you know, if you see heavy traffic in front of you, with regards to like Portman Square, you get your left, you can at the Fitzhardine, you can then spin round Manchester Square, gets you into Hind, you can get your right then. You know, it's a proper cab land, this is, I mean, and long may it remain. I mean, when you consider what's happening in London with road closures, and how we are, only down the road, you know, that what they're going to do to Oxford Circus, seems like a great idea, isn't it, to put a cross and let people cross diagonally. It's not new, they got it down by Balham Station. have light. I mean, it's been there for a long time, that form of junction, nothing new. But then what they're going to do is narrow the roads. So
yeah, they're narrowing all the roads. They've narrowed one of the roads there. I mean, Fitzroy Street, there's a load of... they've been doing some work there.
Hmm.
John, another top talk the walk. So where will people be able to find out more about this?
Well, freelondonevents.co.uk. I'll be scripting and then putting my pictures up. Got a better camera. So, yeah, they've come out really well. Looked at them at night, uploaded them onto the laptop. So I'll be loading them onto a disc, then pass them to Colin, who runs the site, freelondonevents.co.uk. And then next week, we're off into the borough of Camden, but Bloomsbury District, Queen Square.
All right.
A wonderful square. That's where we get the link from the chap we spoke about, John
Queen Jackson. Square.
Queen Square, which is just off of Theobald's Road, near Great Ormond Street Hospital.
Okay.
Neurology. Lots of hospitals there, a couple of pubs nearby, some restaurants. Just around the back of Southampton Road, busy road, very quiet. Again, unless you drive a cab or you're going to one of the hospitals, you probably wouldn't know it exists in London.
John, are you ready for a bit of singing?
Why not?
Right, okay, oi. If EMI want to sign us up, I think we're both available for this. Here we go. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. He comes on every week and we love him for it because he knows everything there is to know about the nooks and crannies around London. That's Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. That's right. John Kennedy, John the Cabby comes in once a week and walks us around a part of London that will just give you goosebumps on Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. And do you know how much is Talk the Walk to cost you if you take them on? I'll tell you how much. They'll cost you absolutely nothing. Oi!